There's more moving image content being produced today than ever before, and the avenues for production of that content is expanding at a fast pace. One of the companies on the crest of this production wave is Starburns Industries, whose partners have an El Paso connection. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Today we catch up with El Paso expat James Fino, who has been working in Hollywood for going on 25 years. Fino is a partner in the production company Starburns Industries. The firm's work in groundbreaking animation for television and feature films has been widely praised over the last few years, and they are expanding into live-action projects as well. I'm happy to have James Fino back in the studio today.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's always nice to see you over the holidays when you come back to visit friends and family. 2016, what a whirlwind. This was a great year for Starburns Industries. It was just about this time, January last year, that we were together in L.A. on the day that the Academy Award nominations for Best Animated Film came out. And Anomalisa, the Starburns project, picked up a nomination. That was an incredible day.
It was quite stunning. I can't really express how proud I was to be part of a group that had produced Anomalisa that started off as really an elaborate, just prestige project for our company. We had just finished producing a special for NBC for Community. There was a Christmas special, stop motion. It turned out great. We were doing some commercials, and since we had just really gotten all the wheels turning in our studio and we had a great crew and the facility was up and running, we decided to see what we could do to push our limits. And Anomalisa started out as just a demonstration of what we could do, and it just exploded and expanded into a full feature film.
Not just a full feature film, but it pushed so many boundaries. I think it was one of the best reviewed films of its year, 2015 and early 2016.
We got a lot of great reviews. I mean, it's based off of an amazing Charlie Kaufman radio play that then was developed into this feature film, and together with Duke Johnson, who visualized everything and basically led the team, that the fabrication of the puppets, the animation. It was an incredible team for our very young studio to basically take on. And quite, you know, it might have been the case that just out of sheer ignorance that we took on a full feature of that magnitude. We didn't stop to think whether or not we could do it. We just did our best and brought everyone on board and basically engaged everybody into this project that we were so passionate about.
It really set a new level, though, for adult animation in that this was an R-rated, adult-themed, very realistic dialogue,
right?
Not for kids,
right?
Film.
And that was the intent from, I mean, the story is, that is the core of the story. It's a pure story in that we wanted to execute an animated feature that was true to the writer's voice, true to the director's voice, and true to the studio's voice. And that was what we established as our brand from the very beginning. And so we didn't want – it was never an adult story that then we had to come in and try to rewrite or re-engineer for a younger audience or a more mainstream audience. In fact, it's a very niche type of picture, and we were just – really happy to see how strongly it was embraced by critics and by fellow animators in our industry who came up to us with a huge pat on the back saying, thank you for doing that. Thanks for helping push that door open for adult animation, because as good as our family animation fair is and young animation, that's the stereotype that we've had in America for decades. And we've all, a lot of us in the animation industry have grown up watching Japanese anime, animation from other countries where they tell adult stories. Yeah. And we have that yearning for years now as we start our animation training. Like, we would like to do the same thing, and we finally have.
Of course, by the time a film like this picks up awards, it means that you're already done with it. You've spent years creating it, and now you're just sitting back and watching it rake in the reviews.
This was a really tough job, Anomalisa. The animators, the director, the producers, you know, killed themselves getting this thing finished. As I said, it was our very first feature that came out of our studio, an animated feature, and to be nominated alongside a Pixar movie and some of the other movies that came out at the same time, it was like an honor that's hard to describe. But even better than that was just hearing what the critics and some of just our friends had to say about how much they loved the story and how immersive it was.
Yeah, having your collective passions validated by so much love, it was a great roller coaster to watch you guys on. But while all of that's happening, you're still producing an enormous number of cutting-edge television product.
Right.
From HBO's Animals. You were winding down some work on some Adult Swim things. A lot of stuff popping up. And every one of those projects had a completely different aesthetic approach. I'm wondering, is that hard as you all do more and more projects to, you know, a lot of studios like to put their stamp on their films so that when you see the visuals, you say, okay, that's a so-and-so film. But your Starburns Industries seems to take a brand new approach to every project. It's really refreshing.
Well, the our brand really is not a visual stamp where we try to make everything look similar. So when you see it, it's like, oh, that's Starburns. Our look by design from the very beginning, we designed the studio to be a playground for encouraging new voices of talent in writing and talent, but also in vision. So we never wanted to be a cookie cutter type of studio from the very beginning. We've seen those. And those studios have produced really good content, and we've grown up with some cartoons that we love from those studios. But we were determined that every project we did would be customized to look exactly the way the creator wanted. We know enough animators in town that can do so many different looks that it's really not hard for us to bring in head of departments to team up with the creators and create a unique look, like for Animals, like for an up-and-coming series we're doing called Cops that was created by Albert Brooks and Louis C.K. that has a very different look.
And that'll
very
be coming look. Out in 2017?
We'll be developing it, and we'll be producing it in 2017. So, it's a really great primetime animated show that's being developed right now. And then Harmon Quest, which is for CISO, which is a very different look. That's a role-playing, a fantasy role-playing game world that comes to life. It's a combination live-action series where Dan Harmon and his friends play this role-playing game in front of a live audience, and then that live audio track is still utilized when we go to the fantasy world, and it's entirely animated.
You know, when you and I were growing up watching animated films, they were almost wholly the domain of enormous companies, particularly Disney.
Exactly.
You know, it was... It took so much resources to make animated films back
then.
And with this explosion on the television side of these animated series, some of which are for major players, but a lot of them are being produced by smaller companies. And it just seems like there's a great broadening that's happened in the last decade of what is possible now that may not have been possible 20 years ago.
Exactly. And a lot of it has to do with technology, with software, things that are just more available now off the shelf. Equipment that smaller companies can just basically hook up and get up and running a lot faster than in the old days. I mean, recently we do a movie night at Starburns, and I did a double feature for the animators of the classic 101 Dalmatians from 1961 and the Aristocats from 1970, and the character animation and the colors, the backgrounds, the painted backgrounds. Are stunning. The younger animators were, their jaws dropped in awe. They had seen these movies as kids, but then seeing them now as professionals, as artists, as adults, we were just grasping just how many man hours and women hours it took to draw and paint these characters by hand, way before computers, way before all this technology that we have now. And that's why it took armies of people to make these things come to life. We need fewer people now to generate that type of animation, but we still need the human spirit, and that is the brand of Starburns. It's going after the human spirit that's behind it, not just the artistry. And so Dan Harmon and Dino Stamatopoulos as creative leads in our studio, and with Joe Russo and myself and Duke Johnson, we bring in the people that can carry on that spirit of our company.
Going back to your early days, one of the things that set you apart from many was your love of stop motion.
Oh, yeah.
Animation, and Starburns has done a number of significant stop-motion animation, very labor-intensive type of animation where you're moving puppets a tiny increment each time and photographing them one still at a time. But are you surprised that stop-motion is so popular right now? Given that computers can do a lot of this, but going back to your notion of the human element, there's still a part of our brain, it seems, that responds to actual light hitting actual props.
And knowing that it's done by hand, that it's created and photographed and animated by hand.
So there's still something that the computer can't capture there.
I'm actually not surprised at how popular it is, because when we were growing up, the way we reacted to Rankin-Bass holiday specials, knowing that they were puppets,
like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Right, and knowing that they were on a physical set with miniatures, and then growing up, being a little bit older and enjoying Ray Harryhausen fantasy and sci-fi movies, you know, like the Sinbad movies and like the, you know, some of these other monster movies. Those movies were key in influencing the people that established famous visual effects facilities like ILM. So those guys that then went on to create milestones in technology still harken back to the human emotion of feeling of seeing the magic of stop motion animation, which goes back to Méliès and the early days of the magic of photography. Sure. So
is it cyclical? Every generation as a young person gets fascinated with this stuff, and then some of those creatives go on maybe 30 years later to want to bring it back?
I think it's just as humans, our eyes react and we can still detect what's, even though CG has gotten really amazing. I mean, Jungle Book this last year was just far so superior in the way it utilized technology to create this photoreal environment and worlds and characters. But still, I think when we know that things are made by hand and animated by humans, it takes on a very special emotional impact when we're watching the story.
Are there animated films you've seen this last year that really stick out for you?
Actually, Jungle Book did, only because I knew that, you know, and we've all realized it couldn't happen.
Right.
So those aren't trained animals, and it's a fully animated film with one human being in it.
Right.
It's like the opposite, and so.
Which is changing the way we even think about what animated film is, because a lot of people just fully accept that as a live action film when it's really an animated film, as you say, with a human in it.
Exactly. And so, I mean, one of my favorite parts of that movie is sitting to the very end of the credits and seeing the little dedication or a comment at the end, basically a notation saying, filmed entirely on location in Hollywood, California.
Right.
After seeing this.
Not in the jungle.
In the jungles of Africa. Right. Which, again, harkens back to just the magic of film, the magic of storytelling and animation. But again, like all these stop motion projects we're doing, we recently had an amazing visit by Puppet Master from Japan, who's part of this puppetry troupe, whose lineage harkens back 500 years of doing these very elaborate three-man operated puppets that do almost like folktales and operas. He wanted to come to the United States to visit just one day in New York and one day in Los Angeles, and he picked Starburns to come and visit Duke Johnson and our troupe there at the castle to see the fabrication of the puppets for Anomalisa and the sets, because he was fascinated with the puppetry that we're doing now, which includes 3D printing some of the faces and just the armatures that we use for stop motion. And we actually arranged to have an Anomalisa puppet and a set and a camera set up and taught him how to do some stop motion animation.
How about that?
And he was thrilled. And I was thrilled to be able to help facilitate this kind of like an artistic handshake with us in Japan. And we hope to continue that.
We've been talking a lot about stop motion animation, but of course, majority of what you put out is actual 2D and 3D animation, a lot of it done on the computer.
Right.
So you're very versatile in that regard. What's the next step for that? Are a lot of people talking about VR? That seems, you know, if you're already creating a world digitally, it seems like animation firms would be the perfect ones to carry on into this new VR virtual reality world.
That's true, and that is the next step that everyone is playing with. I mean, and it is virtually everyone is playing with it. People, every production company in Los Angeles and around the world are dipping their toes in VR, and it's very exciting because we've kind of been here before in early stages and little, but it's really like now more accessible to a lot of people to play around with. The visuals aren't quite all there yet. They're still kind of wonky the way that early internet animation was, just because we need more bandwidth to create it. But we're also still figuring out visually the storytelling mechanisms, the way that film has a certain language that we all as kids learn immediately. We learn how to
tell stories.
How to decode a story on film by the different shots, what they mean, the different angles. Hmm. Same thing is kind of started all over again with VR because you are dealing with a 360, sometimes full-on sphere of data coming in, of environment around you.
And directed by the viewer, which takes
which
creates a whole new landscape for telling stories.
And so – which can be great for exploration, which is what it's perfect for, but not so much for auteur storytelling because for auteur storytelling to happen, you have to have an auteur shaping the story for you in a very particular way. And so that's all still kind of being worked out. And there may be – it may be just like any other platform where some stories are best told in VR and others are best told on the screen.
2017 going to be a big year for Starburns Industries?
That's going to be huge.
Stay tuned, right? Well, James, it's always great to have you in the studio. Fantastic to catch up with you over the holidays. I wish you all the best in the new year.
Thank you, and happy new year to everybody in El Paso.
I've been discussing the work of the L.A. production company Starburns Industries and the state of animated films and television with one of its partners, El Paso native James Fino. Starburns Industries' work can be seen in the groundbreaking 2015 film Anomalisa, recently released on Blu-ray, the streaming series Harmon Quest on CISO, and the HBO series Animals. For more examples of their work, log on to starburnsindustries.com. For more of my conversation with James Fino, log on to ktep.org. A final program note, my own monthly screening series, The Film Salon, will present Alfred Hitchcock's 1956 thriller, The Man Who Knew Too Much, tonight at 7 p.m. at Alamo Drafthouse Cinema. The film stars Jimmy Stewart and Doris Day as a married couple swept up into an international conspiracy while vacationing in Morocco. Tickets are just $3, and for more information, log on to filmsalon.org. Today's program was engineered by Evan Walsh. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.